Welcome to Inspired Living with Mark and Kim. Every Wednesday, Mark and Kim, along with their special guests, will explore thought-provoking topics and ideas that promote creativity, self-help, healing, happiness, and well-being to inspire you on your spiritual journey. Each week, Mark and Kim will discuss different paths to achieving a more spiritual, balanced, happy, and healthy lifestyle. Topics will elevate consciousness and range from metaphysics to the human and social experience, and all things spiritual. Welcome to an inspired community that offers support, encouragement, and new ways of thinking. Mark and Kim are tested, certified, and professional spiritual mediums, metaphysical teachers, healers, and spiritual advisors with their own individual spiritual practices in Seattle, Washington, and Los Angeles, California. You are the inspired and the inspiration.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be in this beautiful, amazing, wonderful planet of ours. This is Inspired Living Radio with Mark and Kim here on the Om Times Radio Network. Thank you so much for tuning in to the live broadcast. We're going to have a wonderful show today talking about the journey to womanhood, and we have our guest on the line. She's going to be coming on here in just a second. But before we do that, we want to open up the show, let you know who we are, how you can find us, how you can work with us, and where we're at every Wisdom Wednesday here on Om Times Radio at 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern. My name is Mark Lanehart, the Intuitive Prospector, coming to you live from my studio here in the beautiful, sunny Seattle, Washington of the Pacific Northwest. If you want to do a little spiritual prospecting for your own spiritual gold, if you want to learn more about the work that I do, you can go to marklanehart.com. You can internet search The Intuitive Prospector. You can also find me every Monday morning for Metaphysical Mocha Mondays on Facebook Live or through my YouTube channel. Today I'm going to be hosting solo. My wonderful co-host, Kim Falcon, founder of Love First, is off today. So she took care of last week while I was on vacation, so this week she is off. But if you want to learn more about the wonderful work that Kim's doing, she's bi-coastal, both in Richmond, Virginia, and Encino, California. You can go to lovefirst.info. You can also find her every Friday for Aloha Freedom Fridays. She also has a YouTube channel that you can subscribe to, and she does amazing healing work, so make sure to check her out. If you're listening to the live broadcast right now, thank you so much. We love our inspired listeners all around the world, our global audience. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. If you want to interact with the show, we love to have our guests interact, and there's a few ways that you can do that. So if you want to interact with us on the social media platforms, you can find our main page, which is Inspired Living Radio on Facebook. Ask to become an inspired listener and make sure to pin your little pin on our global map so we can see where all of our inspired listeners are. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram under Inspired For Us. That is the number 4. If you do not catch this live broadcast, we stream over to our podcast, and there's a couple outlets you can go. You can go to iTunes, Podbean, SoundCloud, YouTube, lovefirst.info, marklanehart.com. We have all of our favorite shows, 4 seasons of Inspired Living Radio, and you can also catch all of the archive shows over on Om Times Radio Archives. So that's just a few ways to interact with us. If you do decide that you want to call in and you have a question on today's topic, because today we're going to be talking about being wholly unraveled. It's a memoir, and it's a journey. It's a storytelling, which I love stories and personal journeys and what I call soul adventures and sharing, which is not an easy thing to do. It's going to be a very vulnerable place to write about your past experiences, but we're going to be talking about that today. And if you do have a question for us, we'll be opening up the phone lines the second half of the show, and the number to call is 202-570-7057. We would like the topic or the calls to be related to today's show's topic, and we're not doing open phone lines, but today is going to be talking about Wholly Unraveled, a memoir with Kiel Bergen, and we're going to be sharing her journey and her personal memoir. And with that, we have a positive affirmation that we like to roll through each and every month. And this month, we're going to actually use one of my favorites, my own personal mantra that I just actually did. And that's take the time to disconnect so that you may have the time to reconnect. And that's our Inspired Living Radio positive affirmation for this month. So let's get into a fun journey of being unraveled or wholly unraveled and talk more with our special guest who is on the phone lines with us. So today, it's a very raw and empowering memoir, Wholly Unraveled, a memoir. Kiel Bergen, also goes by Kathleen, tells a story that is at times inspiring, at times chilling, but always an intimate and vulnerable journey that all women have in common, a journey to womanhood. Going to college was the only way that Kathleen could escape her family, but without her father to inflict pain and with no idea of how to live in the real world, she filled the void with drama, drug use, an eating disorder, and a lost chance at love. Then, ironically, the religion that had broken her and ended up saving her. Kilbergen is proof that by allowing suffering to define you, by not allowing suffering to define you, by looking deep inside yourself, by talking about the things people don't want to talk about, you can heal and you can find love. In a world where women are often blamed and ignored for being damaged and told to keep quiet, it is time to let their voices be heard loud and clear. Tell your story. Your voice matters. And it is that hope, that confidence that Holy Unraveled inspires. So if you want to learn more about Kilbergen and the work she's doing as an entrepreneur, as an activist, as a mother of three, that's a full-time job in itself. She's an author and filmmaker, and you can find more about her on our website at Inspired Living Radio on Facebook. And you can also go to her site, which is kilbergen.com. Kil, welcome to Inspired Living Radio. We like to say you are the inspired and the inspiration.
Thank you, Mark. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, thanks for joining us. And I you know, the first question I have for this book is, how long did it take you to actually write the book and then feel comfortable releasing such a memoir that goes into some pretty, inspiring but chilling journeys that you're sharing with the public audience?
Yeah, well, I guess with any endeavor, whether it be business or creative, I always start with one question, which is why. Why do this?
Mm-hmm.
And my why, when I really dug deep into that, is that I can't ask you to tell your story of pain and struggle and shame if I'm not going to tell my own. And so I really dug deep to say, can I do that? Because as you said, there is some really painful stuff in there. A lot of things happened to me in my childhood, and then I made bad decisions in my adulthood, and I was wondering if I could put all of that on paper. But I really, truly believe in my heart of hearts that if we tell the stories that we don't want to say out loud, then we can begin to heal from them. And so I came to that and decided to write it. And so really it took me about 5 years to write it, but once I went back, it was really only like 89 days when I went back and counted, because some of those days were like 2 hours long, some were 8 hours long, but I wasn't giving myself permission to be a writer yet. And once I did, then it really started to flow. And once I said, I'm going to publish as a memoir, then it really started to move along.
Well, and I love that message of, tell your story, have a voice, especially for women in the modern age, as far as you're really seeing, whether it's the Me Too movement, women in politics, it's just a matter of time before we have our first woman president. And I think it's very powerful. And we were just talking about this last night with my local group here in Seattle. And this month is focused in on the divine feminine and the power of that divine feminine energy and leadership. And for your book, as far as writing it, how long did it take to get published? Was there did publishers want to publish a memoir talking about this journey, talking about this struggle, talking about this pain that you endured?
Yeah, I was really blessed to have several publishers interested in it, and chose the one that fit. I really chose it based on my editor and the publisher, but she really seemed to understand what I was going for here, especially with women. Her previous, the book she did right before Holy Unraveled was about a woman escaping Afghanistan. Another one was about a woman escaping Auschwitz. And I joked with her that this one was about escaping my family. So it was all, women who have an important story for other women to hear so that they can tell their story.
Yeah, and I love that. And, and our tagline for this show is you are the inspired and the inspiration. And when I was reading over some of the details about the book, I thought this would be excellent for this month. I'm glad that we could actually get you in on the month of May, because, like I said, we're celebrating the divine feminine. And I think this story, this memoir that you have written fits in really nice with that. And for all of our inspired listeners, for, women that are just coming of age or women that are maybe middle-aged or older, I think it's always a good reminder to hear how being wholly unraveled can, really change your direction. I always think of it like the seed in a spiritual sense, where that seed is literally has its insides ripped out, and you wonder if you're going to grow and if you're going to transform. But over time, through healing and through patience and trust and moving forward, you start to, you know, plant those roots, and that seed turns into a majestic redwood, which then goes on to, you know, house birds and give oxygen and really have a symbiotic relationship with the world. And I think for you that this book, I mean, you have some really great reviews too. Dr. Jane Goodall talked about how great it was. You know, Jennifer Reed Hawthorne, who's a New York Times bestselling author, talked about, you know, the praise for this book. And I think it's very inspiring. And I love, you know, we don't usually talk about politics on this show, but I love that one of the senators that's going around talking, and she's got a pinky promise with the little girl saying that women are just as capable of being president of the United States just as men are. And I just love that, because it's inspiring young girls to really move into this world and have that voice that you're talking about. So when and I love that the editors approached you and the publishers approached you, because sometimes you hear about the stories where somebody writes a story or a book or a memoir and nobody wants to publish it. I think of J.K. Rowling. She went to, you know, over 100 publishers, and nobody wanted to grasp that vision of Harry Potter that we know today. So just imagine, you know, if that wouldn't have been published, we'd never know the whole story of Harry Potter and that, you know, imaginary world. So when you started writing, you've got an amazing background too. You actually you made your mark in the business world by co-founding two companies, and you're also very much a activist. I was just curious, what kind of activism are you into, and what were your companies that you ran that kind of helped, I'm sure, write this book as well?
Yeah, my heart work started in Vietnam in 1995. I took a trip there, and I had the great fortune of traveling on a humanitarian visa. And so there were only 12 given, from what I heard, that year. And so we got to travel in places that people weren't allowed to go. There were five of us. I traveled with a doctor and several others. And we went, and it was called Friendship Bridge. It's a fantastic program. It's a microfinance program. And we started lending women money, $100 at a time, that they would pay back with interest. And the beauty of the program was, number one, we let them choose what they were going to do with their business. We never said, here's the money and here's what you're going to do. And number two, we put groups of women together, very, very poor women on the outskirts. These are places the government was not helping. And we put them together, and it was really the first time that they were dialoguing with each other about their struggles, whether it be abuse or alcoholism or whatever that was. And so they had to sign each other's note. Think of it as a bank note, but it was a nonprofit. But they had to sign each other's note. So if their business was going under, the other five women came in and helped them. And so it was a real camaraderie in ways that they hadn't had before. So we did that in Guatemala for a long time, still goes. And we started the program in Guatemala as well. So Vietnam and Guatemala. And then we realized we weren't really reaching them. We were reaching the women at an age where, in Guatemala, where they're already having 6, 7, 8, 9 children and not able to feed them. So we decided to start a new program. It's called Maya, where we take the girls in seventh grade, and we take them all the way through high school. And we've actually built a school now down there. But we're using it as a real testing ground for how women can be empowered through education. And that could be a filter program into microfinance, or it could be, you know, they go on off to college and graduate school, et cetera. So both of those programs have been part of my life since about 1995. It's been a great ride.
Yeah, and it definitely shapes you. And, you know, in the perspective, I know you said $100, which for those of us that might be here in the United States, that doesn't sound like a lot of money. But when you go into a third world country, you go to a place like Vietnam, $100 is life changing. And, you know, that's a lot of money for, you know, some of the communities that are located in third world countries. So I love that. And I love that you had them support one another when signing the notes. Now, I don't know if this is true, because I'm obviously a man, not a woman. But my wife talks about, you know, getting women to work together is always a struggle. You know, she always makes reference of Survivor, the TV show, and getting the women to work together. So I love that they're supporting one another from an entrepreneurship, a business mindset, and they're actually taking responsibility by signing each other's notes that if one fails, then they all fail. But if one succeeds, they all can succeed. And I love that. It just shows the strength in numbers, the power of community. And thank you for being an activist and a humanitarian and helping even just a little bit in that, in what you did, can make a huge change, a huge ripple across many different lives. So thank you for that. And I'm sure it played a big part.
I got so much more out of it than what I put into it. I mean, it was such a gift to work with them. I finally realized that recently in the last year, I said, why am I not doing this in the U.S.? And that's where the B Tribe comes in. So now I cluster women together, 12 women together, and put them through a curriculum to walk through the patterns that don't serve them in their life anymore and re-architect their life. But they do it inside of a really safe container that's also all about accountability and a curriculum to walk them through it. So they're really carried in that, because I don't want people to be left anywhere. Like, well, that's a great piece of information. What do I do with it? So I want women to have those clusters that they can go to and say, I feel more empowered because I have my tribe.
Yeah, and when we go, we're going to go to our first break here in just a minute. But when we come back, I want to talk about the B Tribe. I want to talk about what you're currently doing as far as changing those patterns of behavior. Because we had a guest on just a few weeks ago where we talked about neuroplasticity, which is the ability to rewire our brain, our thoughts, and our way of thinking. So we're going to be back here in just a few minutes with our special guest today, Kiel Bergen, talking about her book, Wholly Unraveled, a Memoir. This is Inspired Living Radio. You are the inspired and the inspiration.
The future of internet radio is here. OM Times Radio, IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community. Are you seeking answers to life questions? Would you like to connect to a departed loved one? Are you suffering from pain, stress, or anxiety? Kimberly Thalkin is a tested, certified, and professional psychic, spiritual medium, energy healer, hypnotherapist, and the founder of Love First, where life transformations happen. Love First services support, guide, and empower individuals by connecting them to their highest potential to live a healthier, joyful, and meaningful life that's filled with purpose. All services can be done by phone, Skype, or in person in Encino, California. Please visit lovefirst.info. That's LOVEFIRST.info for more information. Death Row Dogs Rescue is a 100% all-volunteer, no-kill rescue 501c3 nonprofit organization. We are run solely by volunteers who dedicate their time and resources for the past 30 years to rescuing homeless pets from the streets in Los Angeles and surrounding areas, and from city and county animal shelters who are on death row, often moments away from being euthanized. We provide housing, medical care, and training to these neglected, abused, and often severely injured animals. Donate now, save a life, and allow these beautiful dogs to experience a home life filled with love. All donations are greatly appreciated and are tax deductible. Please visit www.deathrowdogsrescue.com to see some of our amazing dogs who need homes. Do not breed or buy. Make adoption your first option.
And welcome back to Inspired Living Radio with Mark and Kim. Our special guest today, Kiel Bergen, talking about her book, Wholly Unraveled, a memoir. And right before the break there, Kiel, we were talking about your tribe that you founded. And I think you said you called it the B Tribe. So let's talk a little bit more about that for our inspired listeners so they can know how to find you. Again, kielbergen.com is one place. But is there any other places that they can locate you outside of your website and outside of your book?
Yeah, outside of that would be btribes.com, and that is the curriculum that we've put together to really give women a place to land when they're going through re-architecting their life or even just thinking about it. I've had a lot of people from the, it was important to me after writing the book to have a place for them to land if they need to. Because there's a lot of people, especially that are reaching out after this, after Holy Unraveled came out April 1st, saying, are you okay? Like, you know, they need to know that, that there's life after this pain and life after this shame and this fear. And so I really want people to know that there are tribes of people. You can find them in your own backyard, or you can reach out in a place like Bee Tribes to say, I'm ready to change my life. I'm ready to heal. I'm ready to walk through that pain and suffering and say, wait a minute, maybe that wasn't my fault, and kind of re-architect the story of your life, really. And it's based on Joseph Campbell's Hero's Journey. And I took the Hero's Journey and made it a bee circle. And, you know, the call to adventure, are you ready for this? Are you ready? Are you brave enough to walk through and say, and have someone say to you, wait, I see a pattern in you that isn't healthy, that you probably know, and it's probably been unconscious for a long time that you have it, but are you ready to really relinquish it? And then crossing that chasm to like a radical, a very radical transformation. We've been, these women I'm working with, it has been, Mark, it's been so incredibly beautiful to see them embrace the change, embrace each other, absolutely be in it. We use videos, we use Zoom calls, we use individual one-on-one sessions, partnerships, all the things that I've learned throughout both my career and my nonprofit experience, I've put together into this Bee Tribes. And I really feel like it's time for us, especially as women, but men as well, to really blend this professional and personal life. It doesn't have to be, I'm at work, I'm at home, and you don't have to be embarrassed to say, I'm going to go pick up my kid at school. And we can blend those and have a more, you know, a really congruent lifestyle.
Yeah, exactly. And so this is beetribe.com is the actual site for our listeners. Beetribe.com.
Beetribes, it's plural.
Plural, Bee Tribes. So beetribes.com. Okay. So make sure to check that out.
B-T-R-I-B-E-S. And if you don't make it.
Got it. Okay. And you can also go to keelbergen.com as well. And I'm sure there's a link off your main page to that site as well, I would imagine. So one of the things that I, again, and we'll get in the book here, you know, we have a whole half hour to talk about the book, but just, you know, that course correction curriculum for not, you know, just not only professional advancement, leadership, and personal growth, but, you know, the studies of science are showing that we do have the capacity through neuroplasticity to rewire our brains. We think that, you know, that early childhood development, which is very vital and very important, but then, you know, one of the, when you talk about pain and grief and everything that's in this memoir and everything that you went through, one of my favorites is Rumi. And he talked about a lot about the pain. The cure for the pain is the pain, or through love, all pain will turn to medicine. And in a sense, your pain really did turn to your medicine, which now allows you to pay it forward because you've walked in those shoes of pain and suffering and grief. And I think that for all of us, you know, you said something earlier that you get so much more by giving of yourself than getting. And, you know, your trip to Vietnam with the doctors, you got so much more out of that experience. Even though you're making a difference in the world, you were getting a lot out of that as well. And there's a healing aspect to that is what I'm saying. But I love Rumi because he talks about it so much about, you know, grief can be the garden of compassion, if you will. And when, you know, you have that compassion and that caringness and that kindness, you really start to see a different viewpoint of the world. And, you know, for this Bee Tribes that you're doing, I love that, you know, especially for your younger women that are, you know, maybe listening to this podcast. You know, it's very inspiring. So let's talk a little bit about the book. And it released on, did you say April 1st, right? Did I get that date right? April 1st?
Yes, it was chosen for Amazon First Read, so the top six books for March, which was amazing. And then it went live for the rest of the public consumption on April 1st. So it's just been a little while.
1st. Yeah, well, just a little bit over a month, but let me say congratulations because it's always such a big thing too. I'm currently writing my book. I think I've been working on it for about 2 years, not 89 days. So I just want to say congratulations. And again, thank you for sharing this very personal story with us here on Inspired Living Radio, but all of our Inspired listeners all around the globe. So let's talk about the book.
I feel grateful. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's just that symbiotic relationship of sharing the message, your personal message, and also inspiring others. And again, there's a lot of healing and inspiration that comes from our shows that we try to do. You know, we've been doing this for 4 seasons, so we love it. Now, there were some unnerving scenes in the book, but perhaps one of the most shocking and scary ones is when your father points the gun at you, and everybody, our listeners, are like, "What? They're pointing the gun at you?" Let's talk about that real quick, because, you know, as somebody that has a background in law enforcement and who is a concealed weapons permit holder, having a gun pointed at you is a very scary thing. And we have that very commonplace here in the United States, even with the shooting that we just had yesterday in the school. Talk to me about that real quick and just kind of share that experience with our listeners so we can connect to the listening audience of how that was a big part of this writing this book as well.
There was a lot of healing that happened by writing that chapter. My dad decided kind of on a whim to, we were on a family vacation on Lake Powell, and he decided that he was going to take me for a walk, and he said he was going to kill me with his gun.
Goodness.
And so I was 12 years old at the time, so just a little girl. And I really believed that he was going to do that. I spent those 3 or 4 hours, which felt like 2 lifetimes, with my father drinking water out of his canteen, counting the sips he was taking while I was really incredibly thirsty and hot and exhausted and scared to death, until he decided to just turn me around, and he put the gun over my head and he shot twice and then told me to get up off the ground and stop being so dramatic. And it was a horrifying experience. Ironically, it's not the experience that really broke me, that came later, but, it was a time where I knew I was alone. I knew that if I was going to be okay in the world, it was about me making myself okay. I didn't have anyone to go to, because when I got back to the camp, the houseboat where we were on Lake Powell, my mother's response was, "Get ready for dinner, sweetie." And that was it.
Wow. And, you know, when you've had a gun fired next to you or on top of your head in this case, with no hearing protection, I imagine. So that could have been, you know, damaging to the ears for sure, because I'm sure you didn't put ear protection on as that was taking place. But, you know, I love that you can be open and share that, because that's a very difficult situation for sure. But you wrote this book because it's inspiring others to tell their stories, the ones that are scared to say out loud, you know, I can make a difference, I can make a change, and I don't have to live within these memories. You know, I always remind people that memories make our past come alive, but we can't go back and grab our past, just like our future is not guaranteed, but our imagination makes our future come more alive. And when that happened, and then it was just tucked away, and you went to dinner and it was never talked about again?
Correct. It became a little bit of family folklore of, remember when, you know, Dad tried to kill Kathleen, you know, that kind of thing.
Oh my goodness.
Which was horrible. But I do want to say one thing, which is, I wouldn't be the woman I am without those experiences. So I don't, I don't have regret. I don't have, I mean, would I want to do it over? No, thank you. But would I do it over to become the woman that I am today? That's a serious question. I think the answer is yes, because I am able to do what I'm doing in the world and the little pieces that I'm doing because of that pain and that, because I walked through that shame. And I really believed, Mark, for a while that it was my fault. For a long time, I believed that I must have done something wrong, because I was the only one that my dad really abused. And so I must have done something wrong. And so when you cross that chasm and say, wow, that was not my fault at all, that's a beautiful day, and that's a gift you can give someone else.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And I also want to say that I wouldn't be able to write about it had I not healed from it. And I think that's a really important piece of this puzzle, too. This isn't about, you know, whose abuse is worse or anything like that. This is about healing. Fundamentally, this is about healing. And I've done a tremendous amount of trauma therapy. And I also practice a lot of Kundalini yoga, and those two things together have really allowed me to heal and tell the story.
Yeah, exactly. And I was going to say, you know, seeking out counseling, therapy to talk about this, because I'm sure that this healing and this forgiveness and this letting go and this acceptance did not happen overnight, correct? I'm sure there was a few years of self-analyzing, or, you know, was this my fault? How many years would you say that you worked through this to get to the point where you could write about this memoir and share this with people all around the world?
It was decades, to be honest.
I
really got okay with it in my 40s, probably. But I've been doing, mm-hmm. I do a specific therapy called EMDR, which is rapid eye movement desensitization.
Mm-hmm.
Desensitization, yep. Yeah. And I've been doing that every week for an hour and a half for 12 years. So that really was a catalyst for a lot of healing.
And I bring that up, Kiel, because for our inspired listeners out there, you know, some might think, oh, this just took a little bit of time to get through. But you yourself has taken decades. I myself, different form of trauma than you, you know, through the loss of, you know, murder and cancer all in the same week with my two brothers. But, you know, going through biofeedback and grieving counseling and understanding and moving into that acceptance that sometimes we're not in control of other people. We're not in control of other people's actions, but we don't have to be held captive by that experience as well. I always, again, I come back to Rumi because, you know, for our inspired listeners, if you don't know who Rumi is, definitely check him out. He's a 17th century or 13th century mystic that talked about pain, talked about healing. And he always reminded us that we don't get lost in the pain. Know that one day your pain will become your cure. And for you, Kiel, that's exactly what happened, is that pain and those experiences. And you said you'd even do those over again, just because it's made you the person you are today. And with all the good that you're doing in locally in your community and around the world, and for women to come together through the B tribes, I think that's very important. And, you know, but you got to give yourself patience too. And that's what I'm trying to get. That's the point I'm trying to get across to our inspired listeners. It's not on demand. It doesn't happen overnight. It does take effort and action on your part to seek that counseling, to have patience, to move through to where you finally can move into the acceptance.
And I would say the same to you, Mark. Like, that must have been incredibly difficult for you. So,
yeah, it was definitely. No
wonder Rumi resonates.
Yeah, well, to be honest with you, Kiel, I wouldn't be here talking to you on the radio today without that experience. So we talk about the experiences that shape and transform us and unfold us into who we are today. I wouldn't be on the airwaves. I wouldn't be doing the spiritual work that I do without the tragedies and that trauma of you know, having my little brother murdered and then finding out 3 days later my older brother was, you know, terminal with brain cancer, and then going through five murder trials to face your brother's killers. That changed me forever. But now, you know, this is, you know, a couple decades later, just like yourself, moving into my mid-40s, the acceptance and now the full surrender to what I do and the love, right? I know that I can just sense, you know, you don't need to be a psychic to sense that you have a lot of love and passion for what you do and who you are, correct?
Thank you. And I have so much empathy for what you've walked through.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. So, in writing the book, I know there was another section. We're going to be going to a break here in just a few minutes. I know that in the book, we're talking about, you know, having a gun pointed at you by your father. And I know that there was a rape scene that was incredibly difficult for you to relive. For those listeners, especially women that have had this same experience, what have you done to cope, and what do you recommend to other victims of rape, both men and women?
That's a great question. I recommend talking about it, and it's not a place. Okay, so that's a great question. I think there's a time for silence, and there's a time to speak out. And I think, like, there's a power in silence. And in my book, I healed remarkably, and ironically, I healed at a silent retreat center where I was silent for a year. And that was the power of silence. Because once
you were silent,
I got
for a
silent,
year,
I was
for an entire year.
For meal
oh my
time.
Goodness!
Mm-hmm.
Wow,
and
that's powerful.
Because I had to, once I got quiet, though, my childhood got really, really loud. The rape got very loud. The gunshot got very loud. The gunshots got very loud. My mother kind of being vacuous got very loud. But that silence is why it's such a big part of how I healed. And I'm afraid sometimes in our culture that we're yelling at each other about whose abuse is worse. That he did this to me, she did this to me, well, mine's worse and this is worse.
Right, right.
But I really believe that what we should be doing is find a couple of friends to talk to and get it out first. Get all that anger and shame and like get it out there and then go internal and heal that and know what you're talking about. Know what the silence can bring to you too, because it's not just about yelling about abuse. It's about healing it from the inside out, not from the outside in.
Yeah, exactly. And I hate to make this the Rumi show, that I feel like this is the Rumi show, but Rumi talked about this, about the more silent and still you become, the more you actually hear, and that those pains that you feel are really messages and that you're supposed to listen to them. So like you said, the gunshot, the different, you know, memories that you went through, and addressing it and talking about that. I can't express more that talking about it is very vital to your own healing. You know, when I was going through my traumas and tragedies, I didn't want to talk about it. It was quite, you know, and that for the men listening, they may resonate with that. Men don't want to express their feelings as much. But I like to say that I'm the awakened man. And by expressing your feelings and talking about that, it actually does have a huge release and it does have a huge healing that takes place. And so talk about that through different, and there's so many different modalities and counseling sessions. And, you know, like I said, I went through a grieving session with a grieving counselor that I had never gone through before. And, you know, it was helpful. But at the same time, I was 27 when this took place, so I was still in my late 20s. And, you know, it's important to express and heal. So we're cruising along here. We're going to be back here in just a few minutes with our special guest today, Keel Bergen, talking about her book, Holy Unraveled, a memoir. Stick around. We'll be back here in just a few minutes.
Edge of Conscious Radio, Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Have you wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
One planet, 7.3 billion people, only one you. Life offers us many opportunities and learning experiences. Are you ready to explore and discover this beautiful planet, the life and energy all around us, the spiritual world, and what is unseen, along with your own personal soul adventure? Mark Lanehart, the intuitive prospector, is the spiritual connection you have been prospecting for. Internationally known as a tested and professional clairvoyant medium and spiritual advisor, Mark's work as a metaphysical teacher, medical instructor, radio show host, inspirational writer, and hiking guide are here to help you on a journey of self-discovery, healing, inspiration, education, and a whole lot of spiritual awesomeness. Dare to dream. Dare to explore. Dare to live. For more information on Mark's spiritual practice in Seattle, Washington, please visit marklanehart.com or internet search The Intuitive Prospector.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Opiates has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor. If making my detox public is going to help somebody, I'm all for it. So I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth, spread the truth. A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
And welcome back to Inspired Living Radio with Mark and Kim. Since we're talking about all the Rumi quotes with our special guest today, Kiel Bergen, her book, Wholly Unraveled and Memoir, I just want to remind our inspired listeners that the wound is the place where the light enters you. And so for all of us that have been wounded or have been hurt or have had a gunshot at us or have been raped, it is that wound where the place where the light and the healing can really start to transform you and make you into the person that you are to become later in life. If you have a question on today's topic, we're talking about Wholly Unraveled, a memoir with Kiel Bergen and a journey to womanhood. The number to call is 202-570-7057. We will open the phone lines. If you have a question for Kiel or myself, please give us a call. And if you want to post a question on our Facebook page, that's Inspired Living Radio. It is a closed page. You'll have to ask to join. You can post your question there. I am monitoring that page as well. So if there's any questions that come up for us, Kiel, we can address those. But let's continue on into the book, because there's a couple things I want to talk about, because you and I have a similar history as far as Catholicism. I, too, was raised as a Catholic in the Catholic Church, confirmed as an adult. And in the book, you talk about that. In fact, you were talking about how it once was one that actually saved you in a sense. And so are you currently practicing Catholicism? What does your spiritual life look like now based on all these experiences in this book? Where are you at on your journey now?
I am not Catholic anymore, but I believe in God. I believe in Goddess. I believe in the power of intention. You know, we can't deny that. I can't deny that. But I don't belong to an organized religion. And I don't think it's a bad thing either. It's just the doctrines for me don't fit in for my spirit.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm in the same path. It doesn't resonate with me. I honor those. My parents are very strong Catholics, and I honor those that, you know, follow that religion. I just always found, you know, it's kind of the quote, I think it was it David Bowie that talked about religion is for those that fear hell, and spiritualism is for those that have already walked through it. Because there's a lot of truth to that, because when I went through the tragedies and the traumas, just like what the experiences that you went through, you start to, your belief system does change. You see things, your perception changes, very much that, you know, what Dr. Wayne Dyer talked about, when you change the way you look at things, the things that you look at start to change. But you said that it also had a hand in saving you, and I wanted to just touch on that. In what aspect did that help you?
I found myself, after leaving a very controlled environment, a Catholic cult type setting, I found myself not able to control myself. I was like chasing adrenaline because there was no one to control me. And so I did that for a long time, and I woke up kind of destitute. I had overdosed. I had been resuscitated. And when I woke up, I didn't know where my car was. I was evicted from another apartment. I had very little money, and I wound up hitchhiking to a place where there was a priest when I was growing up. His name is Archbishop Joseph Raya, and he was just about the only priest that I trusted growing up. And I just thought he was amazing because he talked about love, and he talked about suffering. He talked about Marilyn Monroe. He had pictures of Marilyn Monroe on his living room walls, because he said, it reminds me to pray for her because she's troubled, you know, and she needs our prayers and she needs our love. And I hadn't heard that from the Catholic Church. It was more, she would be a sinner, right? It was the Mary Magdalene reference. And so when I was destitute at that time and kind of realized, if I don't change my life, I'm going to die. I went to the place where I knew he was, which was a very remote place in northern Ontario, Canada. I ended up hitchhiking most of the way, and then someone bought me a bus ticket. And I got there, and it was a Catholic lay apostolate retreat center. And there was no indoor plumbing. I mean, there were outhouses. There was no refrigeration. We used root cellars. And it was a community of 150 people who lived in community. So while I was sorting beans, someone else was chopping wood so that we could heat our place. Someone else was cooking. Someone else was cleaning. Someone else was doing the laundry. And we did it all in silence except for meals. And it really saved, I think it saved my life, to be honest. Shearing sheep and killing chickens and milking cows, and it brings you back to something that really, well, for me, it was very maternal. It was very nurturing. It was very, very loving. And that's where I did a lot of my healing. And that's why I talk about the power of silence and versus the price of silence.
Well, and it really plays true that less is more. And it actually ties into our positive affirmation for this month. It's something that I, you know, strive to. I just came back from vacation. I always remind people to take that time to disconnect so that you can make time to reconnect, reconnect to the world around you, reconnect to your inner self, your higher self, you know, whatever your belief system is, whether that's God, angels, spirit, animals, spirit guides, going on a spiritual quest or a spiritual awakening, very much like what the Native Americans did. So for you, it was kind of that spirit walk, right? Because, you know, for today, you talked about that meditation and Kundalini yoga are your church now. And I'm very much the same way. Meditation, metaphysics, Qigong are my church. And it's about that journey of going within. But how do you go within when you have all these distractions? And we have a lot of distractions in today's modern world with technology, 24-hour media, news cycles. And it gets really chaotic. So just a reminder to take the time to disconnect so that you may have the time to reconnect and find those modalities like Kundalini yoga, meditation, Qigong, find those modalities that help you to go within, guided meditations. So where are you currently at with your family members? Because I know the book is a lot based on your history with your family. Where do those relationships currently stand with your family members? And how did it, if you don't mind talking about, how did it finish or how did it wrap up with your dad? And was he ever diagnosed? Was there any kind of diagnosis for what he was going through? Bipolarism, depression? Are you okay with talking about that?
No, there was never, I can't write the book and not talk about it, right?
Well, I just want to I want to be
respectful.
You can
ask me anything. Yeah, I appreciate that. I don't have any contact with my family of origin, except for one brother who's near and dear to my heart, who's 12 years younger than me and who's not referenced in the book. You ask how that kind of happened. My family of origin is still very, very Catholic. And obviously that doesn't resonate with me anymore. And I also got divorced. When I divorced, 17 years ago, maybe.
Oh, you're in for it now in the Catholic Church.
Oh, yes. I got a voicemail from one of my sisters saying, you know, I really want to be in heaven together, but I guess now we can't, and so I can't be with you on earth. And so, I mean, Mark, to be honest, it's like the great, it will be always be a great sadness of my life that I don't have that family of origin, but it's what you do with that. Like what I did with that is I went and I've made my chosen family, and they are, I love my chosen family. My sisters that I've chosen, we are so close, and, you know, some of us 25 years in, and we do our holidays together. We've raised our children together. Our children think they're blood cousins, and that's because we created that together from a sense of loss. Back to Rumi, right?
Right. Yeah, this I think this is the Rumi show for today. I didn't, you know, and that's what I love doing about radio, because a lot of this is not scripted. And sometimes we like that, just in that improv, and just kind of see where the discussion takes us. Because again, Rumi talks about the art of knowing is knowing what to ignore, right? And sometimes you have to ignore, even if it's your own family, because it doesn't serve your path and your happiness and your joy and your peace. Sometimes you have to ignore family members, because that art of knowing is knowing what to ignore, right?
I couldn't agree with that more. Yes.
Yeah. As far as, I was just thinking, with the book, what was the hardest part about writing this book? What was the hardest chapter or the one thing that you really struggled with putting in the book, leaving out of the book? Just kind of just your mindset of, you know, putting these chapters together, because it's like building blocks, right? All these experiences, and again, in a sense, having to relive them, right? Because you're writing about them, and even though you've healed from that and you've moved into acceptance, sometimes it's not always easy to relive and put these chapters together of the story that you're telling.
Right. The hardest part for me was at every chapter, when there was abuse or neglect, or for instance, the rape or the gunshot, I would print out a picture of that person in kind of a large piece of paper, and I would tape it to my computer. And so I would be staring at the person who hurt me, and it just took me to such a depth because I couldn't get away from them, and I had to live in that moment again. And I, after it was done, I had to remind myself that I was safe, right? I'm safe. They can't hurt me anymore. This is, I'm a grown woman now, but that was really difficult. But I felt like I owed that to myself for the healing and to others who were going to read it, to not make, to not put any, to just go really to the depth of the pain of it and not try to make it lighter than it was. And so that's how I did that.
Well, and through the book too, I mean, even through all your trauma, you still managed to insert a little bit of sarcasm and humor into your writing. Why did you feel that was important for the book?
Because I think I have that in general in my being. I think that I love to scare people. I love to hide behind a door and jump out and scare someone. My rule,
you're like
everybody
Ellen, right?
knows it.
You love Ellen.
In my life. I love Ellen. Oh my God, I love Ellen. But my rule is it has to be over in 3 seconds. You know, you can't be like, you know, I abducted your dog or something and keep it for a day. Like, that's not funny to me. But my sense of humor has just always been there. Maybe because it had to be, because everything was so serious. I needed a little story of humor on the side. I think one of my grandmothers, my fraternal grandmother, is really funny. So I think I got some of that from her. And I'm a practical joker. I love it.
Yeah, I love that. The power of laughter. I always think about Monsters, Inc. That's one of my favorite cartoons, because it had such a great message about fear. You know, how they tried to fill up the energy canisters with fear, and they found that through the power of laughter, they could fill it up much quicker and much larger containers. I don't know if you've seen Monsters, Inc., but it was such just a
simple,
that easy message.
Yeah,
yeah. And you know, that would, you know, ring true for everybody that's listening to today's live show, or if you catch the podcast. Now, is your father in the spirit world? Has he passed on?
He has not. He's my mother and father are living.
They are living. Okay, because you know, in the book, do you still have nightmares about these experiences?
I can
move past that.
I'm so grateful to say that I do not. Yeah, I used to sleep with my fists clenched every night, but I don't do that. And if I ever wake up, I don't have nightmares anymore. But if I wake up with my hands clenched, I just rub them and open it and go back to sleep. So I have to give kudos to my therapist for that, because that took years to get rid of those. And I'm really grateful to say I don't have them anymore. So I hope that spreads hope to other people who are still living in it.
Especially for our listeners. And that's what I was asking. Sometimes I find too, in the physical world, as a medium, as a professional medium, sometimes that those that are in the spirit world can come back in the connection through the dreamscape. Dreams are very, very powerful for part of that healing and asking for forgiveness or saying that I'm sorry. And I've witnessed that many times as the medium, as the messenger between two worlds. And so that's why I was just curious if your dad was in the spirit world and, you know, if there was any connection to the dreamscape.
I've had my dad extricated from my body, like through spirit healers like yourself. I've had him removed from any part of my life, my being, and my spirit.
Yeah. What do you hope readers will take with them once they finish this book? Because again, it's inspirational, but at times it's chilling. It's emotional. What do you hope that the readers, when they read Holy Unraveled, what do you hope they take with them when they're finished?
I hope they examine their own life and figure out the places they need to heal, and the places that they live from fear unconsciously, the places that they live from shame unconsciously, because those direct their life in a way that is really profound, even if they don't realize it. So I hope that people can take away, I can tell my story and I can heal and I can move on from this and be exactly what I wanted to be when I was a little girl before this happened, or when I was a grown up before this happened, or whatever that is. But to go get the life that you're really meant to live.
Seize the day, right? Carpe diem, right? Seize the day.
Carpe diem.
And, and if you want to check out Kiel Bergen's book, Holy Unraveled, a memoir, you can go to her website. You can. There's a link on our Facebook page. I'm sure all the major outlets, like the book-selling outlets, are all selling this book as well. Definitely check it out. It's an inspirational read. Who inspires you, Kiel? Who or what inspires you before we wrap up?
Gosh, anyone who's telling their truth, who's just walking through it with vulnerability, you know?
Yeah, and we're in a 3-year.
That's the greatest thing we can do.
Yeah, numerology, we're in a 3-year, which is all about expression, self-creative, expressive voice is what the universal of 2019, and numerology is a universal year, and it's all about expression. I love that. And since we've been talking about Rumi, we might as well close with Rumi, where he talks about where there is ruin, there is hope for a treasure. Kiel Bergen, thank you so much for coming on Inspired Living Radio. It's been an honor and pleasure talking with you and sharing Holy Unraveled, a memoir, with us today.
Right back at you, Mark. So, thank you so much. That was
thank you.
Really enjoyable.